Good morning, I'm Jim Packard, and I'm in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us today as we talk about Lake Superior. Jeff Richter of Mercer is an award-winning, nationally published nature photographer. His new book is called Pure Superior, Lake Superior Photographs by Jeff Richter. It's published by Nature's Press. Also contains essays by John Bates, Sam Cook, Justin Isherwood, and Howard Papp, and it's a real pleasure to have Jeff Richter on the phone with us today. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Hello to all your listeners.
And thank you on their behalf. A big lake deserves a big book, and that's what we've come up with here.
Yeah. We started out, we knew it was going to have to be a little bit bigger book, because after a few months of editing images, I had only cut it down to about 1,000 and that I thought were good enough to be in the book. And we had originally thought about doing about 180 pages, and over the course of the design, we added 24 more pages twice. So it ended up being, 224, I guess.
Or 227, I believe.
227, there you go.
So it's quite a book. You live within the Lake Superior snow belt, and in every season for the past 15 years, you've gone out on the lake, either on the shore or on the lake itself, with a camera and a sleeping bag, circling the lake place by place, many times over.
Yeah, it's been a really long journey. It's a big journey. I'd hate to actually have to sit and figure out how much time and money I've spent to capture these images, but it's just a place that, as I mentioned in the book, I call it my visual narcotic. I just am somehow drawn to it. The space. Rosie and I lived out west for a few years after we got married, and I've gotten to enjoy that big open sky and the expanse. And so I think both of us actually find ourselves drawn back to that lakeshore, and it's been a special place for us for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite area that you like to go to? Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, wherever?
Yeah, wherever. you know, if you sit and look at a map of the lake, the amount of just spectacular parks around the whole lakeshore is really profound, I think, and quite noticeable. From you know, the rugged North Shore, the Minnesota stretch, to there's just some spectacular parks up in the Canada as well, Pocasaw, Lake Superior Provincial Park. And then, of course, Isle Royale out there by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the South Shore, you got Porcupine Mountains and Pictured Rocks, which I guess if you really push me hard, I would say that maybe that would be my favorite place of all of them. But Apostle Islands, of course, just spectacular. It's really hard to pick one.
In terms of your photography, is there a season of the year that you prefer most?
Not really. No. My favorite times are the ones where I'm not battling with other photographers to find a spot to set up my tripod.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of the in between seasons tend to attract me a little bit more than some of the easier seasons, I guess, or the more photographed seasons.
We're talking with Jeff Richter of Mercer, who is the author, the photographer of Pure Superior, Lake Superior Photographs by Jeff Richter, published by Nature's Press. You usually work solo, but you mentioned your wife, Rosie. She sometimes goes along with you, or your good buddy, Steve Brim, who I believe is another photographer.
Yeah, he sure is. He's been a long-time UP resident. He's kind of bouncing back in between Copper Harbor these days and North Carolina, which is where he was born, actually. But we just have developed a really good friendship, and somehow or another we seem to be able to tolerate each other's quirks and personalities, and we seem to shoot at about the same speed, interestingly, and that I can imagine being with other photographers that, I think about guys still shooting 4x5 view cameras where, you know, they may sit and wait for an image for hours on end, and And I do that on occasion, but I tend to like to move a little bit more. So somehow or another, Steve and I and my pace seems to be fairly similar, and we've had a lot of great times and a lot of adventures around the lake together.
If you'd like to join this conversation to talk about Lake Superior, the number is 1-800-642-1234. Our email address, talk@wpr.org. If you have a favorite spot on Lake Superior or if you have questions about the lake itself, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Listeners to previous programs where we dealt with Seasons of the North and the albino deer know that you have not yet given in to digital nature photography.
No, I'm still hanging on by my fingertips, I guess, with the film. I prefer shooting film. I'm not inclined to the computer at all. Even at my late age, I've actually never been on a computer. And it's kind of amusing to me now how many people say, good for you. And not only that, but I do a fair amount of public speaking, and when I do mention the fact that I am still shooting film, I've on quite a number of occasions had people applaud. So I think people have an appreciation for the fact that perhaps my work has a little more authenticity to it, if that's a word, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I have not. I've not embraced the computer. I'm not really. Really that excited about a lot of the digital photography I see. It's starting to, and this isn't in all cases by any means, the actual capture of an image, whether on digital or film, is fairly pretty much the same thing, but I guess it's the process afterwards that that the digital tends to get a little fairy tale-ish, I would say, and a little oversaturated, a little there's been some real abuses with it over the years, and so I'm still kind of turned off by it, I guess.
We're talking with Jeff Richter about his book, Pure Superior, Lake Superior Photographs by Jeff Richter. And people will understand that if you're shooting with film, there's got to be some question about whether film will be available for you in the next few years.
Yeah, I think it's going to hang on maybe a little longer than what people are predicting at this point. And I really haven't heard anybody for some years now say that it's going to be gone in 5 years or 10 years or anything on that order. I think it probably will hang on to some degree for quite a long time. But there's just no doubt that digital has taken over the industry. And for many good reasons, but I think particularly in the field of nature photography, there's just a lot of question marks with it, and any photographer's work that I look at now, I'm constantly questioning the authenticity of it. Did they drop in that rainbow with the computer? Did they add an animal here that wasn't there? Those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Did they take a midsummer shot and forest scene and add some yellow to it and make it a springtime shot, or even more and make it into a add more yellow and make it into a fall shot. I mean, those are all things that can be reasonably easily done with the computer, and there's got to be a line there somewhere where you cross the realm of calling it photography and calling it whatever, digital mm-hmm. art or something else.
Yeah.
There's got to be a line. I argue that there's a line there somewhere.
Our number is 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones and take some calls. And Ken is first up in Milwaukee. Hello, Ken.
Hello, and thanks for having me on. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much.
I have a question. I'm a big fan of the west side of Lake Superior, and I've been up the Apostles three times. I went to Stockton Island, Madeline Island, and I was wondering, I saw a virgin tree on Stockton Island, and I hear there's more on Oak Island. Jeff, did you happen to get a chance to get onto Oak Island and get some pictures? And I'll take my comment off the line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have not been on Oak specifically. that the great challenge with the Apostle Islands is that it takes quite a lot of effort to get out to them. And unfortunately, in my busy day-to-day running and trying to run a business and all the rest of it, those hours tend to be hard to find sometimes. It's just so much easier to drive to the shore somewheres and hop out and get some good shooting in a couple hours and go on your way. And that really is just not possible with the Apostles. You got to definitely schedule some time to get away. So unfortunately, I haven't been out there near as much as I would like, and Oak is an island that I have not been on specifically, no.
Let's go to Jim in Elm Grove next. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. I'm welcoming the guest speaker today. I'm very interested in what he's talking about. Two points. One is I'm reading a book called Blue Gold, and it talks about groundwater and pulling water out of groundwater from Canada. I'm not sure if that's affecting the water level in Lake Superior. And I don't know if your guest has any information on that. The second one is we're going to be sailing in Toronto Bayfield into the Apostle Islands this June, and just wondered if you had any favorite spots over there.
Yeah, Stockton Island certainly is one of the favorite islands of the Apostles. Fairly accessible, and it's really got a great variety of habitats there, and it's got a nice little harbor area there, too, for sailors. So that's definitely one. And then, you know, if you're brave enough to get out into the Outer and Devil's Island area, those are some fairly spectacular islands out there with quite a number of the sea caves and those sorts of things. So those are definitely highlight spots. And the groundwater issue, I'm not aware of any particular water level issues with Lake Superior, other than we've been in essentially a 10-year drought here in the north. So as of, was it last summer or two summers ago? Now I forget, it actually was at an all-time record low, but it is not the case anymore. The water level has come back up, and I think it's just the normal fluctuations of the lake at this point.
Jim, thanks very much. Appreciate your call. And on to Bob in Rhinelander next. Hello, Bob. What can we do for you?
Hi. I just had a quick comment on what he was saying about digital photography. I completely agree with him, by the way. I like the old-style photography, and I don't really believe that it will ever die out as an art form, at least. It will persist in that form. Mm-hmm. There's something about the image capturing in that manner that digital photography just can't touch. It can't come close to it. And no matter how good the digital camera may be, I can still tell that it's a digital photograph. And some of the nature photography, I just don't see it being reproduced that way, the way you can do with old-style photography. I'm kind of dismayed that some of the schools don't even teach how to develop film anymore. And I guess that's about all I wanted to say.
All right. I don't think that you'll get Jeff to disagree with much of that.
Not at all. And, you know, it not all photographers shooting digital. I've seen people that shoot it quite ethically and wonderfully. It's getting harder, to tell sometimes the difference between things shot on film and a digital capture. But as I was saying, you definitely, oh boy, I've just seen a lot of examples of really poorly done digital images, and even in there's a calendar of Northern Light shots that's out and around right now, and I mean it's completely, to my eye, completely fantasy kind of colors. I mean, there's parts of the dark night sky that are bright purple in these shots, and I don't know where that comes from. I sure have never seen it, and I agree. They're just an aesthetics about shooting film that appeals to me, and I think Bob's right that probably is going to stay for a lot longer than what people are predicting.
I guess this morning, Jeff Richter of Mercer, the author of Pure Superior, Lake Superior Photographs by Jeff Richter, 227 pages of the diverse life that thrives in the Lake Superior watershed. And we'll take more of your calls in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard with you on the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us today as we talk about Lake Superior. In about 25 minutes, we'll talk with the author of the book, The Rock and Roll Book of the Dead. David Comfort is the author of that, and that'll be coming up in about 25 minutes. Right now, we continue talking about Lake Superior with Jeff Richter. We have lines open if you have questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. We can get you on the air pretty quickly. Let me ask you about the equipment that you're using when shooting film in nature.
Yeah, I'm still shooting a Canon 35 millimeter that I've had for, I've got several Canon 35 millimeter bodies, and that I use certainly for all my wildlife work and some of my landscape work. And then I also have a medium format Pentax 645, and I also have, within the last year or so, bought a panoramic, Fuji panoramic camera that I've been playing around with quite a bit this last year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having a lot of fun with that. So it's, equipment that's been around for a while and tried and true and still enjoying using it.
You have essays in here by four of your close friends, the naturalist John Bates, Sam Cook, Justin Isherwood, and Howard Papp. And tell me why you included those essays and how important that is to you.
Yeah, I'm just always impressed with actually all these guys' writings, and three of the four have been friends of mine for some time. John and I go way back. Justin was involved with my first book as well, Seasons of the North. Sam Cook is a new acquaintance of mine, and been a fan of his work for a while. And even though the book is an all Wisconsin product, he's the only one that's just out of the state. So we made a little exception for Sam. He's in the Duluth area. And Howard Papp, I got to know a couple years ago. I was involved with a climate change traveling exhibit, and Howard was one of the other artists that was involved with this exhibit. And gotten to know him a little bit, and he brings a native perspective to the book. He is a retired anthropology professor and has been married to a native woman from Red Cliff, I believe, for I think close to 50 years now. So
mm-hmm.
He's been immersed in the culture, the native culture, for quite a long time, and that was an important perspective that I did want to bring to the book.
Howard Papp notes that with few exceptions, names given to this lake speak to its size, but he says the lake has a primal presence that humbles anyone alongside. Do you share that view of the lake?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that sort of attracts people to it, but also frightens us a little. You know, there's just no two ways that this is a lake that can kill you. I mean, you have to be careful out and about on it, and be aware of its many moods and the quickness that it can change. Of all the impressive facts and figures about the size of the lake and the water and the volume and depth and all the rest of it, the one that really sticks with me is that it takes anywhere, I've read, between 150 and 190 years for the water to completely turn over in the lake. So that means that if you go to the rapids there at Sault Ste. Marie at the outlet and put your hand in the water there, the blood, sweat, and tears of people from from the early to mid 1800s is still washing over those rocks there, and it just brings chills to my back every time I think of it, and it's a big, immense piece of body of water, obviously.
Chip in Marquette is up next. Hi, Chip.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about the Yellow Dog Watershed, which is in one of the more pristine areas of the Superior Basin. It's north of Marquette in the Huron Mountains. It is just a beautiful area. I'm wondering if you've had a chance to take any photographs of north of Marquette or in the mountains. And there's a mining project, I guess it's going to be sulfide mining, which could significantly alter the whole watershed and the contribution of the watershed to the Superior area in the Marquette. But anyway, the Yellow Dog Watershed Preserve is stunning, and I'm just wondering, Steve Brim has, I think, taken some pictures.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I've been up in that neighborhood for sure. None of the shots in the book are specifically from that area. I do have some shots of more of the lakeshore north of Marquette from Sugarloaf Mountain and up in that general area. But the Yellow Dog itself, I have not photographed or don't have any images in the book from there. But I do know that they've had a very long and tough fight trying to stop the mine that's proposed for up there, and at this point it does not look too promising. I know they had sighted a Kirtland's warbler up there, so they were very much trying to halt the mine with that sighting, and they also, I know, the National Wildlife Federation even got involved with trying to get the coaster brookies designated as an endangered species to also help hopefully halt the mining that's proposed up there. But looks like with the economy being the way it is and those sorts of issues that probably this mine is going forward at this point anyway.
Chip, thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. The number for you is 1-800-642-1234. Had an email from Stephanie, who's been to Oak Island. We took a boat out there and camped for 3 nights. We hiked through the woods and along the rocky lakeshore. The island does indeed have virgin trees out there. So it's interesting to get her perspective. And if you'd like to join in with your email, it's talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Jeff next in Medford. Jeff, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to make a comment about the film digital question argument that people have. I just have a feeling that for a photographer, it's really a moot point. It's not the... The picture is captured by the camera, be it film or be it digital, but it's the eye and the heart that really are the ones that capture the image. Before you ever trip the shutter, your heart tells you this is the composition, this is the lighting. So, and to me, it doesn't really matter whether it's film or digital. I always shot film, and I switched to digital earlier this year. I was out on Lake Superior in January. My hands were so cold that I dropped 3 rolls of film trying to reload. And my wonderful wife, Bonnie, said that, you know, maybe you should look into digital. You can shoot a lot more without dropping things.
Is that true, Jeff, that you drop a lot of things out there in that month of the year?
Yeah, it's certainly possible, and... certainly, with the digital, you don't have the issue of running out of rolls of film too when you're out on Isle Royale or something like that. But there's issues with the digital as well, as you have to have storage space and lots of batteries and those sorts of things. So there's pluses and minuses obviously to both mediums, and it's a matter of each person finding what they're comfortable with. I don't have any problems with people wanting to make digital images. To me, when you're talking about nature, again, it's the process afterwards that becomes more of a concern in my mind. And unfortunately, the digital is really, really profoundly depressed the value of nature photography. There are just so many shooters now. I'm told by most of the galleries that I deal with that literally they have photographers coming every week with wanting to be displayed in the gallery. There's just a ton of shooters now, and I have read, I would guess, in the range of 4 or 5 different articles just in the last year or two by the biggest names in the business, Art Wolfs and David Mensch and Jack Dikinga. I mean, the guys that are Tom Mangelson. All these guys have had to redo their business plans because they just aren't bringing in the amount of money that they used to with the advent of digital. And I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Jeff, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate your viewpoint on this. Let's go to Marty in Little Chute next. Hey, Marty.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I wanted to talk to your guest just a little bit, and he just brought it up, just touched on it a moment ago, about his photography work out at Isle Royale. I've had the opportunity of seeing some of the photographers' work that have shot out there. As a matter of fact, I've got one of the Mahan photographs on my wall from Isle Royale right now. But tell me a little bit about the experience you've had out there and what your favorite parts of shooting out there are.
Oh, boy. My favorite parts tend to be the adventure of getting on a boat and going out to the island. Actually, the last time I went out there, and all the times I've gone, Steve and I have gone together, Brim, and we've always left from Copper Harbor. And at that time, the boat was about a 4.5-hour boat ride. And the last time we went out there, which has been a few years ago, we were supposed to leave on like a Monday, and there was gale force winds, so there were 10 to 14 foot seas, and they canceled the boat. And so we went on Tuesday when the waves were only about 8 to 12 feet. So needless to say, it was the most uncomfortable boat ride of my life. At one point, I was just about to black out. I was so ill and uncomfortable, but managed to survive it, and have also had some really great boat rides back and forth between the island. But we generally have gone out in middle of September, which is when the moose are in rut. And of all the wild animals that I've been around and photographed, and that includes bears and wolves and everything else, The only animal I've ever been threatened by is bull moose in rut. And I can tell you that having a 1,000-pound bull moose coming charging at you is a little bit uncomfortable.
I'll bet it was.
Yeah. You learn to keep a tree right close to you. And I've been on more than one occasion, just feet away from these incredibly huge, powerful animals, but had a tree in between us, so he was not able to get at me, and I was able to do a little dance and then retreat quickly. But it's just a great, great park, the least visited park in the national park in the country, I believe, and it's really a special place. There's just no two ways about it.
Marty, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. And if you'd like to join in, the number is 800-642-1234 as we talk with Jeff Richter about his book, Pure Superior, Lake Superior Photographs by Jeff Richter. It's published by Nature's Press. Has essays by John Bates, Sam Cook, Justin Isherwood, and Howard Papp. It's a book that is, about 12 by 12?
Yeah, 11 by 11, I think.
11 by 11, yeah, must weigh about 8 pounds.
it's a little substantial, yes.
It's a substantial book.
Yeah.
It goes for about $38.95,
yeah.
Which judging similar kinds of books, that's really not all that bad.
We've always believed in with all of our books, produce a quality product and at a fair price, and this is hopefully in that same realm. And yeah, most of the photography books that run this kind of size, you're looking at least $50 book,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes more than that even.
All right, let's go to Jay in Milwaukee next. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Mr. Richter. I'm thrilled to hear that you're making images, not just taking snapshots. But my basic point is simple, that the digital versus film battle or war, or the technology debate, call it whatever you want, it doesn't really matter, because it's not about the technology. It's about pre-visualizing. It's about images and communication and emotion. I mean, Ansel Adams' images are not about the technology. He got one shot, and he carefully chose his viewpoint. And he was very careful about the technical underpinnings of lighting and choosing the moment and the perspective that a particular focal length and the aperture and, I don't know about shutter speed with zones. I mean, I know about all that stuff, and it doesn't matter. I've got all the fancy gear, and it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, going up to Isle Royale, you get one shot at the moose, one. And if you haven't already decided what you're trying to say, and how you're trying to say it, taking 100 or 1,000 images isn't going to help you capture that one moment that you went up to Isle Royale to capture. Doesn't matter if it's Kodachrome or Pan X, that's, you know, old slide or old. It doesn't matter if it's two and a. The nice man who called a little while ago, he rattled off a list of equipment, and he was obviously very pleased to have all those very powerful tools at his disposal, but they don't really matter. They really don't matter if he doesn't understand what's he trying to capture and how is he going to communicate that idea or emotion to his viewer.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, it's very, very well put, and it really separates, I think, the true photographers from the snapshooters and all the photographers that are now coming out of the woodwork largely with the aid of the computer, and you know, it definitely comes from the heart, and you know, there's just a lot of things that just make visual sense to me. And it's hard to explain. I know it when I see it. I know I'm a dangerous person to be around when I'm driving down the road, because I've been known to make erratic stops and back up in the middle of the road sometimes because something will scream at me when I'm going down the road. But it definitely the equipment is, again, you know, what you're comfortable with, what you prefer to use, and all the rest of it. But it does essentially come from the heart and the mind, and it all comes together, and with any luck to make a memorable image. And it's a lot tougher process than people, I think, most people understand.
The book is more than a collection of pictures to be admired and enjoyed. It's also a call to action. How so?
You know, I think in this obviously time of quite serious discussion about climate change, this is a region of the country that in a lot of ways is going to be very profoundly affected if the climate change estimates are you know, proved to be accurate. We're going to lose some of our real iconic tree species here, birch in particular. You already see quite a lot of that dying around the lakeshore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really, really need to constantly, every day, think about how their footprint is on the planet, and little ways to lessen it. I mean, it doesn't mean that we all have to, you know, turn our heat off completely and start you know, I'll live with windmills and solar panels and stuff. That would be great, and hopefully we'll get there someday. But every day, think about just little things that you can do to lessen the impact, and hopefully preserve you know, the quality of environment that we've got here and are so blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not another place on the planet like what we've got right here in our backyard.
But some people see Lake Superior as nothing more than a highway for freighters, a supersized bottle of drinking water, and a resource to be marketed for maximum profit. What do you say to them?
Yeah, you know, that there's always going to be those conflicts. And that's nothing new. It's been around as long as, you know, our current economic system of money and barter and all the rest of it, that there's always going to be those conflicts between the people that see the resource to be marketed and those that see the resource as something perhaps more valuable being left alone and being preserved. So that's just an ongoing battle. That's constant, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
Okay. Charlotte and Moose Lake is next. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Merry Christmas to you.
And to you.
Thank you.
Jeff, the question I have is regarding digital versus film photography and the ethics and integrity thereof. First, a practical question. Getting film is one thing, but where do you get it processed after that? All the film processors are seemingly dropped off the face of the earth. And then secondly, with film photography, when you process, part B of that question is, do you process your own black and white? And then when one processes film, there's the dodging and the burning, and they're enhancing the way we can do manually during the processing of the image. How does that compare to the digital enhancements? Do you have any moral or ethical feelings on that?
Yeah, no, and those are all, you know, huge, complicated questions. All this stuff is, as anybody that's been involved with the photography business for any length of time. The actual film processing that I'm having done, I'm almost strictly shooting color slide film. And so there is still a lab over in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, AGX Imaging. Mike Lucier is the owner of it and a super bright, capable guy. He is still processing slide film. I am not a black and white shooter, so I have never done any of my own darkroom work. That is something that I just have never been involved with. I'm not a technical person in that realm at all. I'm a shooter, and I let the technicians take care of all of my design work, my printing, and all the rest of that. That's just not my forte at all.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte, thank you so much. By the way, what film do you use now that Kodachrome is gone?
Yeah, I've actually been mostly a Fuji shooter over the years, so I've shot a lot of Fuji Velvia and Provia, and then there are a couple of Kodak Ektachromes, and I'm trying to blank on what they are even called right now, but anyway, there's... Mm-hmm. Couple of Kodak slide films that I do shoot for some specific subjects.
Let's talk about how people can get a copy of the new Lake Superior photographs.
Yeah, it's pretty well distributed right now. It's available in the big chains. It's certainly available from myself, and we did finally get a website up and running.
I see that after all these years.
which I've had a number of people say they actually felt the seismic shift in the Earth's crust when we did get that done.
And what is that website?
Yeah, our website is either Jeff Richter Photo will get you there, or Nature's Press Books. .com, I believe. So that's available, and also just about any independent bookstore should be able to get it for you.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much, and best wishes to you. Jeff Richter of Mercer is an award-winning, nationally published nature photographer. His first book was Seasons of the North, then came White Deer, Ghosts of the Forest, and the new one is Pure Superior, Lake Superior Photographs by Jeff Richter, published by Nature's Press. Coming up in just a moment, David Comfort, the author of the rock and roll book of the dead, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.